You're listening to the Redeemer Theological Academy with Pastor Brian Cashelmeyer of Redeemer Lutheran Church, Los Alamos, New Mexico. On the Redeemer Theological Academy, we mine the riches of the Scripture and the Church Fathers and find in them Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer. Here's the Academy with Pastor Cashelmeyer.
Welcome back to the Redeemer Theological Academy. Now, in our last lecture, we began to talk about Isaiah chapter 60. We barely hit the tip of the iceberg in this chapter, so we've got a lot to talk about. Let's go ahead and get started. Picking up at verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. Now this light, this is the promised light, the light that the people of God have been waiting for. The light is now here. The light is now in their midst. This is the promise of the incarnation. All the way back in Isaiah chapter 2, there was that invitation to the house of Jacob saying, come, let us walk in the light of Yahweh. Now again, this light of God is good. God is light, and he's the one who bestows light upon us. He enlightens us. He reveals to us his word of truth, his word of life. So God is life, and he bestows his word of life as he speaks life into us. Now, this is a good word. This is a word of light. This is the word that is heard in 1 John chapter 1. Now that's John's epistle. And John says that this is the message that we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That is koinonia, this communion, community together, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And what we want to see about the light is the light brings life. Now, how does the light bring life? It removes sin. Of course, it's going to expose the sin, but it exposes the sin in order to take the sin away. The light comes to cleanse us. The light is good. And therefore, in the book of Isaiah, you have that invitation right in chapter 2. Come, let us walk in the light of Yahweh. It is in that light that we will have life. In Isaiah 60, that light comes. And we are to arise and shine because he is now here. He is the glory of the Lord. The Kavod Yahweh has risen upon us. Christ is our light. He is the glory of the Lord. Now, of course, Paul will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that none of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But this is the Lord. This is the light. This is the life that we have been waiting for. This is the one who comes to enlighten us, to take us out of darkness and to dwell with us, that he is the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings. He is the great light from Isaiah chapter 9, the one who shines on those who dwelt in darkness. Well, now the light has come. Arise and shine. We reflect this light of the Lord. He has risen upon us like the sunshine, like the sunlight bringing life. Now we continue at verse 2. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But Yahweh will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations shall walk to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now, the Lord himself is the light. He is the light to the nations. There's a couple of things that we want to see, that is, understand here. Now notice again how we use the word seeing as perceiving. And the way that we see is by hearing. And therefore, the word of God is heard and says, behold, to see with our ears. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Now, the Lord wants us to see precisely what is taking place in this fallen world, the world that's in rebellion against him. This is the world that has fallen into sin and into darkness and the deception of the devil. Now, this world is in the dark without the light of God's word. Now, remember in Isaiah chapter 9, it's those who dwell in darkness have seen a great light. Well, the Christ himself is that light who comes into the darkness. Thus, in Isaiah chapter 9, when we talk about the coming kingdom of light, we are told that this one who is born, this baby who is born for us, this son that is given to us, that he will come to bring this kingdom. He will be the Prince of Peace. But notice in chapter 9 in Isaiah, we are told that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. And those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Now, we know in Matthew chapter 4 that the evangelist tells us that these words are fulfilled when Jesus comes to Galilee of the nations. And it's at that place where he begins his ministry as the light to the nations. So he starts there in Galilee of the nations, that this light would go to the nations. It is a light that brings life. Now, without light, we cannot see. But now also, without God's word, we cannot see. So it's that word that comes to us to tell us, to proclaim to us and say, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, in whom my soul is well pleased. Thus, the Father says in Isaiah 42, look and see the Son, the one upon whom I have placed my Spirit. And it's there in chapter 42 that we're told he will open the eyes of the blind. And specifically, the Father speaks to the Son, and the Father says to the Son, I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. And what are you going to do? Well, he's going to open the eyes that are blind and to bring out of the prison those who are imprisoned, those who sit in darkness. Now, he's the one that's going to open eyes to see. He's going to bring his light so that there can be sight. And all of this takes place through the hearing of his voice. Now, later on in Isaiah chapter 49, recall that the Son, the person of the Son, reminds us about this conversation with the Father. And the person of the Son says, now Yahweh says, he who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, that Israel might be gathered to him, for I am honored in the eyes of Yahweh, and my God has become my strength. Now again, notice that this passage is teaching us the mystery of the incarnation, that according to his human nature, he can call the Father my God. And he recalls to us that conversation. The Father says, is it too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to bring back the preserved of Israel? I will make you as a light for the nations. Now again, he is the light of the world. He is the light of the nations, that he will shine in the darkness and he will bring to faith those who are of the Gentiles. The Gentiles will be converted and brought into the kingdom of God. And this is precisely what we have in Isaiah chapter 60, that arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of Yahweh has risen upon you. So this is the message to the church, because what has happened? Behold, darkness shall cover the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but Yahweh will arise upon you. For Yahweh is the light. Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is the light. And when Jesus shines upon us as the light of the world, then the glory of the Lord, that is Jesus, will be seen by the nations, and the nations will come to our light. Now, he alone by nature is the true light. Now, in John's Gospel, John will continue the same theme that Isaiah had ever since chapter 2 and throughout his entire scroll. John will start in chapter 1 of his Gospel, and he will talk about Jesus, this great light, this true light, and say, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now, notice that understanding of the light coming, the light to the world that shines in the darkness. What Isaiah is telling us in chapter 60 is, behold and look and see, the darkness covers the earth, and the thick darkness the peoples. Now, of course, his image is the image that we have back in the Exodus from Egypt. Now, in Exodus chapter 10, it's Moses who stretches out his hand toward heaven, and there was pitch darkness in the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But all the people of Israel had light where they lived. Now, understand that teaching. Understand the image that we have here, that the people of God had the Word of God. The people of God had the Word that gives life and the Word that gives light. The nation of Egypt, which becomes the epitome of all of the Gentiles, of all the nations that lack God's Word. Without God's Word, they do not have the true and living God. Without God's word, they do not have light, and they do not have life. Thus, they dwell in darkness, and they dwell in death. But Jesus, who is light and life, he comes to bring to us light where there's darkness, and life where there is death. Now, in John's Gospel, in chapter 1, remember that we are told that John the Baptizer is one who is bearing witness to the light. So he's a lesser light. He's like a little lamp. Now, in both Isaiah and in John the Evangelist, what is the role of John the Baptizer? Well, John the Baptizer is this lesser light, this lamp, that is the voice in the wilderness preparing the way for the Lord. That is, preparing the way for Yahweh. Remember, Jesus is Yahweh. He is Yahweh who comes to dwell with us. He is Emmanuel, that is God with us. And so John will say, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. But this is the light that comes into the world. So John will say later on in chapter 3 that here's the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But Whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Now that's John in chapter 3 of his gospel. Well, Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. He comes that we would have life, and that we would no longer stumble in the darkness. Now, later on in John's gospel in chapter 8, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And then later on in John chapter 9, when he opens the eyes of the blind man, he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then later on in John chapter 10, Jesus says that if anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. Now again, Jesus is the true light. The Gentiles do not have Jesus. They do not have the Word. They do not have God. They do not have the promises of the kingdom. So they dwell in darkness. But that word will be sent out from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. That the light that comes to the people of God, the remnant of God, will shine forth in the darkness. So that's why later on, Paul can say that the church is the light of the world. Jesus is the light, and when we arise and he shines upon us, then the Gentiles see and they come to our light, the light that is reflected upon us. Now remember, Israel had the promise of the coming light. They were invited to walk in the light, but they chose not to. Remember again those words back in Isaiah chapter 59. We hope for the light, and behold, we see darkness. And for brightness we had hoped, but we walk in gloom. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at noon as in the twilight. Now notice those words. These words are echoed by Jesus in John's gospel, in particular in chapter 12. When Jesus says to those who had the promises, to those who were invited to walk in the light, to Jacob, they would not hear and thus they would not see. Hearing is seeing and seeing is believing. So Jesus says to them in John chapter 12, Jesus says, inviting them to walk in the light, saying, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. And when Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Now, later on in John chapter 12, Jesus picks up this same imagery again and says, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Now that theme throughout Isaiah is that the Father sends the Son, and it's the same theme in John's gospel, that when you hear Jesus, you hear the Father. When you see Jesus, you see the Father. And again, notice that hearing is seeing and seeing is believing. But if you refuse to see, if you refuse to hear, then you do not have the Father, but you have the darkness and you remain in it, separated from God. Now that light was with them for a little while, and then that light went out from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And this is precisely what's being described to us in Isaiah chapter 4, in which the Lord tells the church, saying, "Arise and shine, for your light has come." That's the people of God. Why? Because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations will walk to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Now again, remember that the Father sends the Son as the light to the nations. Now when this light arises and shines upon us, the light of Jesus is reflected to the ends of the earth. After the death and resurrection and ascension of Christ, we, the church, are the light of the Lord, the light to the world. So the nation shall walk to the light that is reflected upon us. Now this imagery is picked up in Revelation chapter 21. The city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. Why? Because the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. And later on in chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, the very next verse, by its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. You see, the nations will walk to the light. That was the invitation back in Isaiah chapter 2. Inviting the people of God first, saying, "O house of Jacob, come and walk in the light." But then telling us that this word, this Torah, this instruction would go out from Jerusalem, and then the nations would come. The kingdoms of the earth, these lesser mountains, would join in and flow toward the holy mountain of God. Now, this walking, again, is that language of hearing the word of God and talking. We walk and we talk, this divine conversation. We are talking about the conversion of the Gentiles. That they, the nations, those in darkness, without God's word, without God, have now become God's people. For the light now shines upon them and enlightens them. Thus, in Isaiah chapter 2, when that invitation goes first to the house of Jacob, "O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of Yahweh," then we're told that the Gentiles will come. So in Isaiah chapter 2, we are told that many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the Torah and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem." That the nations will come to heavenly Jerusalem, that they will be converted and brought into the city of God, into God's kingdom of light, and they will become sons of light. Now going back to Isaiah chapter 60, we pick up at verse 4. "Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be carried on the hip." Now again, we want to see that correlation between hearing and seeing. The word goes into our ears saying, "Lift up your eyes and see." See what cannot be seen with the physical eyes. See what can only be seen with the ears when you hear the word of the Lord. That the Gentiles will be converted. Those who were spiritually blind and spiritually deaf will be brought into the light. They will become sons of light. Now remember, that's what Jesus said in John chapter 12, that the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. This is what he's speaking first to those in Jerusalem. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. And again, when we talk about conversion, when we talk about God's kingdom, he populates his kingdom. He brings sinners into his kingdom, pardoning them and giving them peace. and he gives them life, and they become sons. They become adopted heirs of the kingdom. Now, this is the New Jerusalem. This is the believers who are being born from above in the water and the Spirit and the Word. Through the waters of holy baptism, we have that promise that faith has come and we are no longer under a guardian, for in Christ we are all sons of God through faith. For as many of us have been baptized into Christ, we have been clothed with Christ. And now this word comes to us and says, lift up your eyes and see. See what God wants you to see. See that the Gentiles will be converted to the faith. And we want to be very clear on this. This was not a plan B. This was plan A. We know from the Old Testament this is exactly how things will play out. That first the word will go to the Jews, then the word will go to the Gentiles. But now imagine in those first days of the early church after the ascension of the Lord, that small remnant of believers. Now remember, the majority of the Jews did not believe in Jesus as the Messiah. It is a small remnant. But that small remnant is told that even though you see a small gathering now, this gathering will grow. It will grow through and to the ends of the earth in the ages to come. That there will be many upon many sons and daughters, and they will come from the Gentiles. That promise given to Abraham, that he would be a blessing to the nations, will be fulfilled in the sending out of the apostles to the ends of the earth. Now again, so in the days of Isaiah, we are told to see things that we cannot see with our eyes, but to see things that we can only see with our ears. Lift up your eyes all around and see they all gather together. They come to you. Your son shall come from afar, and your daughter shall be carried on the hip. Now, these words here in Isaiah 60 echo the words in Isaiah 49, verse 18, in which we hear, they all gather, they come to you. As I live, declares Yahweh, you shall put them all on as an ornament. You shall bind them as a bride does. Now, look at the two different pictures here. As you see that in Isaiah 60, we're talking about sons and daughters coming from the Gentiles. Now, in Isaiah 49, we're talking about the Gentile converts as kind of like a jewelry, an adornment, a beautiful clothing that you can be seen with the glory of the Lord. That the Lord's light will be reflected and you will be precious in the sight of the world as the world sees more and more gathering to the light of Christ. Now, keep with that idea. Keep with the idea of this adornment, this ornamentation. Now, go back to Isaiah 60, picking up at verse 5. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because of the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nation shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall bring good news, the praises of Yahweh. And the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered to you. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister to you. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will beautify my beautiful house.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Redeemer Theological Academy. For more episodes or to leave comments about this show, please visit our website, RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Again, that's RedeemerTheologicalAcademy.org. Thanks for listening, and may our Redeemer Jesus Christ continue to be your life and salvation, your hope and your peace.